Okay. All
Because
right.
I can't trim it in the middle.
Okay, no problem. We didn't get that far.
No.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another edition of the Sharpening the Square podcast. I am your host, Baru, and joining me is Magoo. Magoo, how you doing?
We're going with Magoo. We're going with Magoo
Yes.
again. Okay, we finally settled on it.
The fans have voted. You have been demoted to Magoo.
Man, well, I'm obviously somber because of the KB2, aka Kelly Bryant news this week, but we'll get to that, the Clemson corner.
Oh, so we have a Clemson corner now. That's good to know.
Yeah, of course. We got to do a little small segment on Clemson corner. We'll cap the game at the same time as well. So.
Yeah, I know we have a lot of fans out there. So we will do that. I have some thoughts on that game, but
I
before
mean,
we jump.
it made national headlines this week, so
Yeah, it was right up there with the Kavanaugh hearings, let me tell
oh.
you. Okay, so before we get into any of that, let's explain for our first time listeners what's going on here. So Magoo and I, we are in a Vegas contest called the William Hill College Football Pick'em, and we both forked up $250 to be in this, along with 262 other people. It's a $500 entry. We're on a team. And each week, Will Hill sends us 25 games to pick from. Mostly it's the top 25 matchups. Occasionally they'll throw us some weird ones. So Magoo and I decided, hey, what better way to make our picks and record it on a podcast so we can take our turns giving our favorite picks and we can either agree or disagree and come up with our card each week. And so far, we've been okay this year, huh?
Yeah, and I was just watching this pretty good Vikings Rams game, and I just lost fantasy this week with Adam Thielen going against Adam Thielen and Todd Gurley, so that's done.
You were hooked
Anyway,
up.
back to that. Third place, that's pretty good. We can
Yeah,
probably lament our week two.
we got a long way to
We know
go.
it's pretty
So
good.
we're in third place, but I mean, I'm looking at the sheet there. We're in third place with a lot of other people. And we made the comment
Yeah.
last week that no one had still gone had a 7-0 week. Well, 10 different teams last week. So, that really kind of
Oh
hurt
my
our cause.
goodness.
Yeah, 10,
That's
man. It's
impressive.
crazy.
That's
But
impressive.
I feel like we got at least one of those in us this year.
Yeah, we like we said, we need to, you cannot have a losing week or you're done. So,
Yeah, so quick recap
well,
of
you can probably have a losing week, but then you got to follow it up with 7-0, so.
Again, there's no 2-5, no 1-6s, and definitely no 0-7s. That's a
I mean,
season killer.
with all the being college football and with all the choices they give you, there's a lot of value in a lot more in college football than in the NFL. Just more flukiness in the NFL, so.
I couldn't agree more. Let's do a quick recap of last week. Man, honestly, I think we should feel lucky that we went 5-2 because we couldn't agree on anything last week.
Well.
But still, at the end of the week, I ended up kind of mad that we went 5-2 because I feel like we had a
No.
6-1 staring right at us.
Yeah, I have no regret. I was going to get to that. I have no regrets on Oklahoma State. I actually did not see that Texas Tech had all those defenders coming back. And I don't know. The Big 12, who the hell knows what's going to happen in that league? I would almost stay away from that, capping that conference. It's too fluky week to week. So I have no regrets on Oklahoma State. I don't know how in the hell we started the podcast last week with my favorite play being Purdue, and somehow by the end of it, we put BC in there when all the red flags, all the squareness, kind of came up with that when, all these teams were staring us right in the face that were better. I mean, Purdue being one of them, with just kind of. Fading the squares on that. Yeah, we kind of leaned Texas, but we stayed off of it. That was a damn shame.
Yeah, well, we had Tech in Florida on our card after the initial recording. We took both of them off, but yeah,
La
that's I think
Tech, yeah.
yeah, I think we need to make a hard and fast rule. If we disagree on pick, we just need to like scrap it, and that's that. It's we listened to that garbage
Yeah.
Stucky podcast, and we ended up getting back on
They're not good. They're not great.
Michigan
I did
State
have to
was
talk
right
you
there.
off last week, Billy. I did have to talk you off of your Tulane Green Wave with, you know, Urban Meyer being a dickhead, running up scores on them in the
That was
fourth.
another after the Stucky podcast. That wasn't even in our initial recording. So
I didn't love BC, but Stucky kind of talked me into it. Yeah, it was weird. It was a weird week.
Well, yeah, and you know, honestly, we kind of got lucky with some of our wins too. I mean, Texas A&M, Florida State, even Clemson.
Florida State looked a little dicey.
They were all nail biters. Michigan was our only clear one, and that was, man.
I'd say Maryland was pretty easy.
Oh yeah, Maryland. I forgot about Maryland. Yeah, that was a good pick.
Maryland was a good pick. It was such a random, like, well, the squares are going to be on Minnesota, so let's just fade them. So
I don't understand how you can say you don't regret Oklahoma State. Like, when we're that wrong, like, we were clearly on the wrong side. There was no question.
No, but yeah, but the signs were there. We had movement through 14, which is a huge number. So it started 13.5 is what we got. And the line moved all the way to 15.5. So it went through a huge number. We had reverse line movement. And that was just a fishy line with Texas Tech coming off a huge win versus Houston. All the signs were there for Oklahoma State, with the square side being Texas Tech, it seemed like. And it's just a fluky game. I don't have any regrets still. BC had all the red flags, with BC traveling for the second week in a row and Purdue desperate for a win at home. I really, really lament.
We bet 3-0 versus 0-3, and the 3-0 team was on the road. That's just not a good recipe, for sure.
No, and I wasn't impressed with BC and their win over Wake, and we found out last weekend that Wake is not that great. They got trounced by Notre Dame, who was my lean. I really had to talk you off of Wake.
Oh yeah, well I am not a Winbush fan, and I know there's more to it than just a quarterback, but. You know, obviously he's not playing anymore, but yeah, Wake is not good. I'll admit it. Oh man.
Yeah. Hold that thought. Cause they're playing Clemson, and if they get, you know, over 30 next week, we might have to do it. If Kendall Hinton is back throwing to Greg Dortch, we may be taking Wake. So we'll hold that thought for next week.
I like it. Well, let's, without further ado, let's get on to this week's card. You know, at first I was like, I don't like this card because it's all top 25 matchups. It's all big conferences with the exception of one game. But after doing research, I mean, man, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I've got 11 different games highlighted where I have pretty strong leans. So I'm hoping
really?
We can, I'm hoping we can agree on some. Well,
I've only
it's
got
your turn.
Five, so
okay. Well, do you want me to take the honors in since I have more?
I think it is your week because I'm pretty sure I threw out Florida State last week. I gave you the categories. I'll give you my thoughts on this week really quick. In that, on why I had trouble is because, so there's a lot of good spots that I see, like a lot of good like psychological spots are for teams. The problem is we're a third of the way through the season, so we're almost at that teams are who they are. So I look at a game, I'll give you an example, like Nebraska, and this is a great spot for Nebraska against Purdue, getting 3.5 at home. However, I'm just thinking like, well, maybe, you know, we've had a large sample size now, maybe Nebraska is just bad. So, you know, it's one of those games where I'd like to take Nebraska as the home dog with like, Colin Coward called out Scott Frost, you know, saying his team's embarrassing and they suck. It's like his players hear that, and I'm like, great spot for Nebraska, but maybe they really do suck. So that's what I had trouble with, things like that.
Yeah, I get it. I get
and
it.
Vice versa. Like, Kentucky's only laying 1.5. It's suspicious. Like, this game should be, like, 5.5 Kentucky favored, but and it's like, well, is Kentucky just good? Or is this just a fishy line with all the squares betting Kentucky? Because if Kentucky's really good, then 1.5 is low.
Yeah, I've actually got to lean on that game, but let's open it up. I like your category, so I'm going to dub this category the Hangover. Do you have any idea who I may be?
I've got a feeling. I'm thinking it's a hangover. It's a team that hangover win. No, a loss or a win. Give me that hint.
Hangover loss.
Okay, so you like Cal, and I'm definitely my first edition. This is another great example, Billy, that I saw this and I was like, this is a perfect spot for Cal. My only concern with this, to put this in the maybe column, is that I don't feel like we have a not large enough sample size with Cal and their schedule and who they've beaten. Justin Herbert is clearly the better coach. Obviously,
Quarterback, you mean?
their QB, their coach is much worse than whatever whoever Cal's coach is, but.
Yeah, Will Wilcox, he's awesome, man.
Yeah,
Well,
so
let me see if
that's
I
my
can
only
sway
concern.
you.
I originally put Cal. I was like, this is a great spot, but man, Herbert, and like, do we know if Cal's good? They haven't played anybody yet.
That is one point. This is actually probably one of my favorite plays of the year so far because the way I try to look at it, I add up all the factors, and every single arrow to me is pointing towards Cal. And so usually it's not that easy, but let me just go through a few different things. So the main thing is Oregon. This is a massive sandwich spot for them, and they straight up blew that game versus Stanford. If you look at the percentages, they were favored like almost 99% to win both times. Twice in the game. So that was versus Stanford. And they've got Washington on deck. So after blowing a marquee game like that, that's why I think that they're going to be hung over a little bit. They are 8-22-1 against the spread the last 31 games. So Oregon is a team I think that the public loves to bet on, but the public loses on them a lot. And in this case, they are getting 54% of the bets. They're also 0-13-1. 0-13-1, their last 14 conference road games where they are favorites of 4 points or less. So again, I think that there is some reasoning to that number. The public sees them as a short favorite. They're like, hey, all Oregon has to do is win. And they end up getting disappointed. Jeff Sagarin has this game, Cal minus 1.7, and Peabody has them minus 2. So both sharp guys have Cal as the favorite, yet we're getting him at plus 2.5. This game opened minus 3.5, and it was quickly bet down to the number that it is now. Now it's minus 1.5. So we're getting an extra point. That's not a really big deal. Now let's go into Cal. Cal is 5-0-1 ATS at home under Will Wilcox. Again, he is a really good coach. We're going to have a big edge in this game. They have a top 30 defense. So Oregon's strength versus strength. We've got Oregon's high-powered offense going against the top 30 defense. They're undefeated. They're healthy. They have a good coach, and they're coming off a bye. So bye weeks
Oh, I like
sometimes mean
that.
things to me, and sometimes it doesn't. When you have a good coach, I think bye weeks mean a lot. So I like that they're coming off a bye. And listen to this stat. They haven't given up a touchdown in the first half all year. And that's crazy to me. And you're right, their competition hasn't been the greatest, but they've had a
They only
Pac-12
beat
game.
UNC by 7, and UNC is terrible.
That was a home op that was their the season opener though, so those I always think are a little fluky. And UNC isn't that bad, man. They got a victory last week. And they also beat BYU, who's upset Wisconsin. So there's reason to think that they've got
On the
some
road.
strength to them. So anyways, that's what I got, man. Again, everything just kind of pointed towards them,
I'll
so I'm
roll
like,
with
man, this
it.
one.
I'll roll with it. I love the spot, the sandwich games, and the hangover effect is a real deal. We are going against a really good QB, and yeah, a little bit of a smaller sample size, but I don't have enough on my end, so I'll roll.
Cool. All right, one for one. Now, what do you got?
All right. pick a category. You know the categories by now. You got the boring but effective. You got the live dog. You got the maybe back off our system. The system is kind of 5-3. And shoot, I don't even know what the last category was. There was four.
Yes, there was.
There was
I can't.
Hold your nose. There was a hold your nose one.
I don't want to hold your nose. Okay, I think I went with boring but effective.
Well, our hold your nose last week was great. It was Florida State. So.
Oh, it did. Yeah. That, oof, man. That, we definitely were holding stuff during the fourth quarter of that game. Gosh. Oh, man. Let's go boring but effective, man. Let's get a win.
Boring but effective. Okay. Actually, I'm going to go live dog first, and then I'll go boring but effective.
Completely ignore it. Okay.
I'm trying to think if this is my favorite play. Southern Miss getting 27.5 at Auburn.
And you say they're a live dog?
This is a live dog.
Wow.
Southern Miss always comes to play for these SEC games. So this is just – I don't think Auburn's going to run up the score. And I think Southern Miss can put up points. They can score. And this is just over the past, Southern Miss kind of – the line's down to 26 now. With, you would imagine, the majority of the bets coming in on Auburn. So I feel like Vegas is teasing the squares to not give them the full four touchdowns and just say Auburn's got to beat them by four touchdowns. So they're begging you to take Auburn at minus 27.5, and I think they're taking a stand with Southern Miss. So I would say this is a live dog more than a hold your nose, but I like Southern Miss at 27.5.
Man, interesting. I'm shocked, actually, but I kind of like it too. I mean, this is not one of the games I had circled, but everything I've written down goes towards Southern Miss. Southern Miss has a good defense too. You mentioned their but they have a pretty good defense, and Auburn
scored.
Yeah, Auburn's offense hasn't been overly impressive. Southern Miss also has
this. So Auburn, I'm trying to look at their schedule and their look ahead. This just seems like a get a win and get out of there type of game for Auburn, which I've seen over the years when they play these quote-unquote cupcakes. I don't think Southern Miss is a cupcake, but Auburn does the thing that Clemson kind of does and just get in, get a win, get out of there, not try to run up the score. So that's my angle on this game.
Well, yeah, and you're right. Well, especially if this is at the beginning of the year, Auburn may, have ears pinned back, ready to blow this team out. But this is sandwiched in between SEC play, which is really weird how they do this. I know Bama has a spot like this too. But, so Southern Miss.
They've got Mississippi State on the road next week.
Okay. Interesting.
I can't imagine they want to give anything away to Mississippi State for film. Go very vanilla playbook. We're getting a point of value. So, I mean, Auburn barely covered, and they really should not have covered versus Arkansas last weekend. Southern Miss is much better than Arkansas, by the way.
Well, yeah, I think so too. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are better than Arkansas. The other thing I like Southern Miss's coach. He's had some good quarterbacks that he's coached up the last few years, and the thing I like the most about this is the reverse line movement. That's something I always look for. Auburn opened up 29.5, and now they're 26.5, and yet they're getting 68% of the bets. So you're like, well, how does that make sense? If they're getting more bets, why is the line going towards the other side? And that's because that's the way Vegas wants it to go. That's the way the sharps are coming in. So I say, let's roll it.
Roll it. We got two for two on the same page. I like it this week.
Yeah. Well, and this is almost like a makeup spot because a lot of our same reasoning, we had liked La Tech last week versus LSU. Very, very similar game. But hey, what can you do? Okay. My next play, man, there is a lot of them. Ooh, which way to go? I wish I had fancy.
Cal was your favorite, huh?
Yeah, Cal was my – okay, I'll give you my second favorite. Man, this is actually – now that I'm looking at it, this is really close with Cal. And let's see. What can I call this? let's call this the snowball game. And I don't know, you may not know what that means, but
Oh no. Sounds sexual or something.
No, how about not the snowball? How about the dumpster fire game? How about that?
Oh man, I love it already.
Yeah, and so this is a game where I think the wheels have come off our opponent. I think that they are done, and so I'm not concerned with the line. I'm not concerned with the matchup. But we have good reasons to like both of those as well. And I'm going with the Duke Blue Devils, -5.5 at home. And I love this game, man. Like I said, Virginia Tech, I think the rails have gone off, man. Not only their quarterback getting knocked out of the game, they dismissed the D lineman, kicked them off the team. There's been turmoil. And it's so crazy, too, because they went from, you know, a contender for the ACC to just the wheels completely falling off in 1 week. But that week, their loss versus Old Dominion was terrible, a pathetic effort. They gave up 632 yards to an Old Dominion team that was winless before and really underperforming. So they have a reason to be disarray. But there were whispers of this even beforehand. So I think the coach has completely lost the locker room. So not only Josh Jackson, you know, he's not that great of a quarterback, but their backup that's playing this week with no time to prepare is a Kansas transfer. Yeah. And last I checked, Kansas is not good, not very good at football. So if you're having to transfer from Kansas, you must really not be good at football. And Duke, they have a good defense, man. They shut down the Baylor Bears. Can you imagine that? They went to Waco and shut down that Baylor offense. But no, seriously though, their defense is holding opponents to 15 points a game. They have the number 55th ranked schedule as far as difficulty. Virginia Tech has been number 156. So Duke has already cut their teeth. Jeff Sagarin makes them a -8 point favorite. Again, they're a massive, massive coaching advantage with Cutcliffe. Cutcliffe, you know, I think he is probably one of the most underrated coaches. Him and Wilcox, they're right up there. They do more with less. And Duke's secondary is really good.
You sold me here because we got – to get to. So this was kind of what I was talking about at the beginning of the pod, where this is a spot where, you know, a sharp bettor might say Virginia Tech just got embarrassed by Old Dominion, so all the squares would be betting Duke. But I'm kind of with you. Like, we're at the point of the sample size of the season where Virginia Tech might just be bad. Like, Florida State is bad, so their win over them at the beginning of the season doesn't look as great. And man, Virginia Tech lost their entire defense to the NFL last year. So that Old Dominion putting up points on them was not a fluke. I mean, their defense I think is bad, and I think Florida State was just fluky kind of for their defense to stop them like that. So I'm with you, Duke, man, David Cutcliffe.
Good deal.
Playing the points. 5.5 doesn't really scare me. It's going to be game's going to go by 7.
Oh, and one last thing. They are coming off a bye, too.
I mainly like that you're fading the spot where, you know, a square would say or a sharp would say, got to take the team after getting embarrassed. But you're seeing something in Duke.
Yeah. Well, they're also coming off a bye. So, again, we have a good coach coming off a bye.
I like that.
Yeah, and it's the percentages are 50-50 right now, money percentages. So, you know, yeah, good. That's 3 for 3, man. What do you got next?
Like it. All right. Categories aside, let me get to my plays. So I gave you Southern Miss. All right. So Marquee was the other category. Marquee. I guess we had like 5. Yeah. Should we do Marquee or save it?
Well, you know, the fans love a Marquee. I mean, we just bored them.
Let's get to the one that you had to lean on. So, I have a feeling for similar to what we were just talking about with Duke, that Kentucky's just good. They are a really good team, and they are playing at night again, or excuse me, in the late afternoon in their home stadium, which is actually a really good home field advantage. And South Carolina, I don't really look too much into their win over Vandy last week. I think Vandy just kind of put everything they had into the first few games of the season. They got beat up by Notre Dame, even though it was close. They played a really physical game. So they're coming off a physical game, and then they got to play South Carolina. South Carolina's traveling for the second week in a row. We saw what happened with BC when that happens. And, man, this is the point where it's like we have a sample size and Kentucky might just be good and Vegas might have put out a bad line. Like, Kentucky should be favored by, like, 5.5, I feel like.
Huh. Well, this would be our first disagreement, but that's okay.
Okay.
That is okay. You know – Oh, did I lose you? You there?
No, got you.
Okay. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say that's fine. I was the squares, my caveat with this on my part, I saw Kentucky -1.5, and I'm like, wow, I just think they're a much better team than South Carolina. Their defense is legit. And at the same time, I know the squares will be pounding Kentucky in this game.
Yeah, well, you know, this is probably going to be one of my – out of the games I highlighted, probably one of my least favorites. So if you want to convince me, you know, maybe tomorrow when we talk, I'm open.
Yeah.
But here's my – South Carolina, they've covered 8 straight road games. Again, they're the more talented team. That was kind of my argument versus Vandy last week. Yeah. They've got the better recruits. So if you consistently get the better recruits, you're going to be the more talented team. They've had the tougher schedule so far. And so I think the numbers are a little bit skewed with that being said. Also, Kentucky's getting 61% of the money. So I think the public has completely flipped on them and now they're a little bit overvalued. And Mark Stoops, he's 2-11 ATS as a favorite. So Kentucky is one of those teams that's a good dog team. You want to back as a dog, but not as a favorite. I think the Cowboys are kind of like that in the NFL. So and Kentucky's actually beaten SC the last 4 times out. So a little bit of revenge factor with SC too. So I don't know. I mean, to me, it's probably a stay away, but I'd be willing to listen to the other side.
Huh. Now I kind of like Kentucky even more now that I know. I thought the money would be skewed even more for Kentucky. That's interesting. Yeah. Not quite as square of a pick as I thought. Man. We'll table that and I'll kind of look at teams on their second, you know, home game in a row, like how they've done.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been pretty positive for teams. And then on vice versa, teams traveling for the second week in a row. Man, I still think Mississippi State is good and Kentucky just shut them down. And if you have a lean on Florida, Mississippi State, get it out of the way now, because I would not – I feel like you want Florida, and I would not – I would advise against that.
No, that's – okay, that's actually a good segue. Mississippi State is another one of my plays. Even though Sagarin and Massey Peabody, they both have them as a 6.5 favorite, and we're getting them at 7.5. I just think it's a great bounce-back spot. Fitzgerald has kind of struggled so far this year, but I think he's – prime for a good game versus Florida. I could see them just blowing them out at home. And Florida on the opposite, this is great. Mississippi has a bounce back spot. Florida has a letdown spot. The last 2 weeks, Florida has only won the yardage battle by a combined 46 yards. Yeah, if you look at the final score, they look like they were kind of blowouts. So Florida is getting 63% of the public money. And there's you love fading the public dog. The public always likes to bet favorites. So when the public's hopping on an underdog, that's when you go on the other side. And I think that Vegas is doing the same thing with this game where they like to trick you with the hook. So the line's 7.5. And I think they put that half point there to trick the public into say, hey, we're getting value. We're getting that extra hook to take the dog.
That was
and
my favorite is they are begging you to take Florida with the hook.
Yep. So that's why I like Mississippi State. I guess you're on the same side, huh?
Oh, yeah. I was worried you were going to be with the public road dog, but you came over to see the light. I mean, you're not mentioning the biggest thing, which is, Mississippi State has a fantastic home field advantage. You know, in the NFL, it's 3 with good home field advantages. At night in college, it's like 5.5. It can get up to 5.5 points. So we'll have that going for us. And then, of course, the Dan Mullen revenge factor game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be huge. So we got a good break with, like, Florida blowing out Tennessee, which is really not that impressive because everyone in the SEC is going to blow out Tennessee. So, Tennessee couldn't cover versus UTEP. So, you know, not all that impressed with Florida. So I think we're getting a good number between Mississippi State getting blown out and Florida blowing out Tennessee. We're getting a pretty good amount of value, and that home field is great. Mississippi State, love it. Roll it.
Excellent. Roll it. That is 4, my man.
Wow.
Where do you want to head next? You want to stay in SEC country?
We could save the marquee games. You grab one, I guess. Or no, I guess I'm up again. Yeah. So let's get to this one and let me hear your thoughts on it, because I saw this line and I'm like, this should just be an autoplay. But a couple things kind of worry me. It's Army getting 8.5 versus Buffalo. We're getting a point of value already because it's 7.5 now. But obviously with Army covering and taking Oklahoma to overtime, you'd feel like the squares are going to be pounding them. But, man, they control the clock. They get to 21. They can probably cover this game. Buffalo, they're kind of sneaky, though. Looks like they've had a pretty good offense from what I've seen this year. I want to ask, did that game come out as you as, like, Army getting over a touchdown autoplay because they're just covering right now versus a lot of teams?
I kind of think this is a little trappy for the public that everybody no one saw. No one physically saw the Army OU game, but everybody was hearing about it. And it was kind of cool. It was almost like it was went viral because that game was not televised anywhere. So people were just tweeting about it and jumping on and following, like, oh, is Army really going to beat OU? So Army's coming off of that game. They're heading into Buffalo. Buffalo's really, I like the sneaky game. I wrote sneaky good 4-0 team. There's also reverse line movement, man. And again, I don't want to go against the reverse line movement. Army's getting 62% of the bets. But as you mentioned, they open plus 6, and now they're plus 7.5. And we're even getting a worse number at plus 8.5. So, I think it's a classic letdown spot. No. The only thing that has me concerned is
no, that doesn't make any sense though. Plus 8.5 would be a better number.
Okay, so they were getting bet at plus 6. No, because they were getting bet at plus 6, and the line moved to plus 7.5. So if they're getting
there's reverse line movement. If you say it opened at, I didn't see it opened at 6. I don't know where that came from. I actually thought it was the opposite. They opened at 8.5 and they moved down to 7.5.
Oh no. And let me just make sure I'm not smoking crack here. Yeah. Action Networks has opened at 6, and then so does Vegas Insiders as well.
Oh, okay. So we're getting a good number, but I don't like the reverse line movement.
No, and another thing, there's just different things pointing. Jeff Sagarin has this at Army minus 2, which is crazy. I'm like, dude, that's 10 points of value we theoretically be getting. So I don't know what to think about this, but Buffalo is a team that I researched prior to the season, and I was thinking about putting a bet on them to win this conference, but I don't know, man.
This game stinks. Army just took Oklahoma to overtime. Every square with a couple of nickels and a bookie is going to be betting on me, I feel like.
Yeah. Plus, it's an early game, too. And you just, I don't know. Sometimes teams come up kind of sleepy in those early games. So,
I watched most of that Army Hawaii game. Army does not have a great defense. They, they, uh, the scores are lower because their offense, the triple option, is pretty good, and so they just grind the clock. But their defense is pretty weak, so that would kind of worry me versus Buffalo.
Yeah, well, we'll table that one, but as of now, I think it might be a do not roll.
Okay.
Okay. So,
go ahead. Do yours, yeah, and then we'll do a Clemson corner real quick.
Okay. Well, I want to head back to the SEC real quick because they're the greatest conference known to man, as everybody knows. And I love my Fighting Texas Aggies this week. I looked at this line and I'm like, 20 and a half.
That was my boring. That was my boring but effective.
What are we missing here? It's the less than three touchdowns against one of the worst teams in college football at home. I mean, this is crazy.
What's going on? By the way, A&M is a better team than Auburn, and Auburn was laying 30 and a half last week.
Yeah, that's crazy. And a much better offense, too. And, you know, only is Arkansas bad, but they're showing no improvement. I mean, Auburn gave them chances in that game, and they still blew it and didn't cover it, only put up 3 points. So the only thing I don't like here is A&M is getting 76% of the bets, as one would imagine. The line really hasn't – the line opened up minus 16 and a half. Can you imagine that? What a terrible line. It's minus 21 now everywhere. So the line's moving in the correct direction. And I don't really like laying big numbers.
We're still getting a point of value through a key number, though.
We are through a key number. Again, I mentioned the early game before. I don't love laying huge numbers on early games because sometimes it takes a little while for the teams to get going. But still, man, I mean, that's Kyle Field's a tough, tough place to play. And I don't see any reason Arkansas can hang with them here.
Yeah. With this Chad Morris stuff, I mean, this could be another like Virginia Tech situation you were talking about where we have a sample size and this team just might be a train wreck. Instead of looking at it like this is a bounce back or what for Arkansas, or they're going to play with pride, this could just be a lost season for them. That's what I initially thought with A&M was like. My angle on A&M is like they've had to play in 3 weeks the number one and number two teams in the country. Mm-hmm. They lost both of them. It's like if there's any reason like for them to just want to kick someone's ass, like just angry, like we have two losses and yet, you know, we covered versus Alabama. We almost beat Clemson. Like, why would we screw around? Like, it's time to open up a can and show like the country how good we are because we're sitting not even ranked, but we had to play the top two teams in the country. And I just think it's like, man, A&M I think is better than Auburn. Yeah, I think they're better than Auburn. And they're 10 points less versus a terrible team.
I don't get it, man. I feel like maybe we're walking into a huge trap here. I like it.
A&M has every reason to open up a can on this game. This is not an A&M like, let's just get out of here, get a win. This is like time to run it up and show the world that we can kick some ass too, even though we got our ass kicked by Bama last week.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Cool. Well, that's.
By the way, we didn't talk about that in our lamenting, but nice call by us. It was actually how we said where we needed a back door, but you know, pat yourself on the shoulder. We stepped in front of a freight train and kind of Superman stopped it.
Yeah, we played hero ball and we said we wouldn't do it, but it was just too much, man. It's just crazy line. There's a crazy line this week too, but I'm not about to play a Lafayette this week.
So we have five. So we have five, quick Clemson man. Corner.
Oh.
Quick Clemson corner. So Clemson laying 24.5 versus Syracuse. I've seen a lot of media say grab Syracuse and the points that Syracuse is going to – I would actually lean Syracuse, but the only downside of grabbing the points with Syracuse – and, yes, Clemson has – Syracuse passes the ball all over the place and Clemson has a not great secondary. But the caveat is that if there's ever a week where Dabo would want to run up a score and just not stop putting on the gas pedal, it's this week when the last thing he wants is people to say, oh, you shouldn't have told Kelly Bryant he lost his job, because now look at it. You almost got beat by Syracuse. Like, this is a week to open it up. Their offense will be much better with Trevor Lawrence. So that's a stay away. I don't think that the QB thing will be as much of a distraction as the media is playing. So for me, it's a pass, but I lean Syracuse.
Well, I actually really like your boys this week. I really do. There's a lot of factors, man. The only thing I don't like I love the revenge. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So the revenge, as everybody knows, that Friday night game last year, Syracuse came in and upset Clemson. But do you remember the score of the year before when Clemson went to Syracuse? Do you remember that, how that went at all?
Oh my goodness, we destroyed them.
54-0. So we don't have to worry about them being afraid to travel. 54-0. So this game also has reverse line movement. 71% of the bets have been on Syracuse. The line opened up at 20. Now it's 25.5. So we're at 24.5. We're getting 1 point of value.
Yeah.
I really wish we would have that opening number, man. If this was under 3 touchdowns, it'd be a no-brainer for me.
It opened up 20.5?
20. It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you mentioned Lawrence was a lot better with running the offense than Bryant. Not only is he better, he's twice as good. The average points per possession under Lawrence is double what it was under Bryant. And I think, we've watched him.
Yeah,
I agree.
And I hate to say this. I know everybody likes Bryant's game against A&M, but his receivers bailed him out that game. Like, T. Higgins and Hunter Renfrow made some amazing catches on his scoring drives. So Lawrence's world's better. I'm sorry, SEC team, maybe Arkansas, maybe Auburn. The team that gets Kelly Bryant, you're going to get really, really frustrated with him. I know you think you're getting a stud, but I'm sorry. I just didn't see it. He could not even make the simple throws. Like, he was throwing high. He got his receivers killed, and it's just – I'm sorry. Kelly Bryant should have stayed at Clemson, enjoyed his last year. You know, he would have gotten to the playoff, had a lot of fun with his teammates for 4 years. But, obviously education was number one. No, it just tells you what a joke the student-athlete title is. Like, this guy's trying to go and start somewhere and get his meal ticket. But anyway, I'm off my high horse. You actually swung me to Clemson. The only thing to worry about is a backdoor cover.
Well, yes, that's one. I've got two negative stats going against Clemson. I've got to mention them. Historically, Clemson is not good laying 20-plus points in ACC play. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're 1-8 ATS the last 9 times in this scenario. And the really crazy stat, Clemson has only defended a passing play on defense 26% of their defensive snaps. Isn't that crazy? And now Syracuse is coming in, and you know they're Dungy. They're going to be throwing all over the place. So it's scary, but I still like them.
Gotcha. So is this one of your favorites, or do you have more? Because I think we can kind of table this. I love the reverse line movement, though. I'm with you.
Yeah, I have, but this is one of my favorites.
Covers, I would. My thing is, like, if I'm watching that game, when I watch the game on Saturday and it's like we're up like 49-21, and it's just like last second touchdown, Dungy throws a touchdown, I'll probably throw a stool against the wall. So.
Well, and I'm hoping that Dabo learned his lesson last week, because they almost let that get out of hand, and then he, by putting their scrubs in too early, and he ended up having Lawrence come in, and it was amazing. Yeah. And Lawrence just like, boom, touchdown 2 minutes later. So I'm hoping he learned his lesson, and especially I'm hoping he gets some inspiration from these guys like Jim Harbaugh and Urban Meyer and everybody else that likes to run
up James Franklin.
I mean, these guys, they have no mercy. But okay, we'll go back to that.
That's my favorite angle is this would be the week that Dabo would want to run up the score to be like, yeah, I'm a genius. So let's table that one and give me your next play. That's okay. It for this week's Body by Men Clemson Corner. We have sponsors now.
We have a sponsor. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Okay. We're going to go across the way. Well, actually, not too far because we're going to go to the Fighting Irish, -5.5 versus your Stanford Cardinal. Again, I love the situation, man. Stanford pulled that win out of their you-know-what. It's a brutal scheduling spot.
You will actually admit that you were on the wrong side with
analysis of the game. It was on the wrong side unless you're cashing the ticket. Brutal scheduling spot. They traveled to Oregon last week. Now they're going across country through three time zones to Notre Dame. And yeah, I know they play Notre Dame a lot, so they're used to playing there. But they've got Utah on the schedule next week, so it's a sandwich spot. They're coming off that emotional fluky win. They're 4-9 their last 13 games after covering the week prior. So again, it's kind of one of those things where they get overhyped and then they fall back down to earth. Notre Dame, they've got a really good rush defense, and I think that's Stanford's strength, even though Bryce Love has struggled this year. They only allow 19.3 points a game, and that's against some pretty darn good competition. This is a revenge game versus last year's loss. The line opened -3.5, and now it's 5.5, so with Stanford getting 57% of the bet. So a little bit of reverse line movement, but not as significant as some of our others.
Yes.
That's
love it. Love it. That was one of my bets for the marquee category. Stanford, you didn't mention Stanford in the sandwich spot here, so they've got a, mildly pretty big game with Utah the next week that, they concentrate on conference play. You did mention the emotional win last week. For Notre Dame, this is their biggest game by far of the season. Like, they're not going to screw around. If they want to make the playoff, they absolutely have to win this game. They don't play a team near as good as Stanford the rest of the season. And I think my favorite angle, though, is that Stanford's actually ranked ahead of Notre Dame, which I love because square bettors see the matchup and they see, oh, number 7 gets 5.5 points at number 8. I'll take the higher ranked team plus the points and I should win. It should be a field goal game, but I don't know, man. I actually didn't watch a lot of that Oregon Stanford game. It didn't look like Stanford was moving the ball very well until Cristobal started cooting around. So Notre Dame 6th play.
Cool. Let's do it. Yeah. And if they win this game, I'm going to be kicking myself because I was looking at them 35-1 preseason for national championship. And I think if they win this game, they're going to go to the playoff. I mean, preseason when I was looking at it, I'm like, man, they've got Virginia Tech on this schedule. They've got Florida State. And now both of them are falling off. So after this game, their season ender is at USC. And that could be tough because I think USC is getting better. And that might be an interesting game. But, that's 6 right there, man. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, I was going to do rapid fire. Rapid fire, boring but effective game.
I've got 2 more. Or actually, I've got 3 more that I for sure want to talk about.
I've got another one. Maybe it's one of yours. Hottie Toddy. Ole Miss on the road getting 12.5 at LSU. I'm still not a believer in LSU. I think people are down on Ole Miss because they got absolutely hammered at home by Bama. But I don't believe LSU has just got the guns to crush any, semi-decent team. This seems like Mississippi State should be fired up to play LSU. They always get up for the LSU game. So, did you have a lean in that 12.5 LSU?
I'm kicking myself for not fading LSU because, we're kind of down on this team. I feel like they've gotten some.
I still don't know how we ended up on BC when we had all these lanes.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I just keep going. I just don't know if this is the spot because Ole Miss, man, there's something off. Like, not only the Bama, but last week they were hanging real close with Kent State at home. I mean, maybe they were just not showing a lot, like we say in some of these sandwich games. They were just trying to get out with the win, but it took 14 points in the fourth quarter to put them away. Man, but yeah, LSU's offense is really bad, and Ole Miss, their offense is pretty damn good. So I don't know, man.
We're getting a pretty good number.
Should definitely talk about this some more.
We're getting a pretty good number with Ole Miss. It's moving towards, looks like 11.5. So we can table that one. And
LSU's getting most of the money, 63%. So, again, a reverse line movement. Not through any key numbers yet. But, I think let's talk about that one some more.
Yeah. What do you got? I can't believe you have three more. That's crazy. I'm not seeing like anything on here.
Okay, so I'll try to be quick here. I'm gonna go back to the well on this one. They treated us so good last week. Florida State, man. I mean, this is a crazy game because these are two teams that like are having really bad years. However, one of them I think is starting to show signs of life. Florida State, and the other one is in the poop in the toilet with Arkansas. So Florida State, they're laying 6.5 on the road at Louisville. Man, Louisville, they have struggled, and it's gone back for more than this year. They're 4-15-1 in their last 20 games ATS. So the way to hurt FSU is through the air. That's the main way to hurt them, and Louisville has an anemic passing game. It's awful. Florida State's only getting 53% of the bets. They opened -5.5. Now it's 6.5. Jeff Sagarin has them as a 10.5 point favorite. And I tend to agree with that. I think FSU could blow them out. I have a hard time seeing Louisville scoring on them.
Virginia is not as good as they were as last week. It's just Louisville is bad. Louisville's really bad.
That's what I think too. But so that's a game I think we definitely should talk about more. Is maybe got two more though.
Back in Willie Taggart. Okay, I actually initially leaned Florida State. I do like Florida State. It was just like Florida State on the road again, and man, Florida State's bad. So it's just like fading the smellier poop. Like they're both poop teams, and you're just fading the smellier poop.
Yeah. I feel like Louisville's dead and bloated, but Florida State, they got the win last week, and they still have a little bit to play for. They know they need to keep after it to keep their season alive. So,
yeah. No, that's a lean. That's what I was about to say, actually, is Florida State is – they give a shit about this bowl streak that they have. So if they want to make their bowl streak, if they want to keep their bowl streak, they have to win this game against Louisville, who they're better than. So, yeah, we'll pencil that Florida State. I have a pretty strong lean towards Florida State.
Well, and they're on the opposite side of the ACC from Clemson, right?
No, they're on the same side.
Oh, they're okay. I was going to say, because that's wide open. But if they're on the same side, there's no way. But okay, so
should we what? Roll to the big marquee now, the huge marquee?
What's the huge marquee? Are you talking about
Ohio State, Penn State.
Oh, I could have sworn you were talking about Alabama and Lafayette again, but okay, that's all right.
Oh God,
let's hear it. What you got? What's your take?
I have Ohio State. I think the Nick Bosa injury is a little overflated. I've got a strong feeling that our boys Stuck and Colin will be on. Just couldn't believe this line's only 3.5. Penn State, I feel like, is a little bit of smoke and mirrors this year. The game against Pitt got out of hand, and Ohio State just being in their FU mode. I wouldn't want to go against Ohio State, but I was more wondering if this was one of your plays, Ohio State.
No, it went back and forth on it early in the week. I loved Ohio State because I'm kind of with you. I think Penn State may get exposed this game, and you know, also Ohio State, the return of Urban Meyer. That's this game. But there's some things that have me concerned. First of all, Massey Peabody.
No, he was there last week. He was there last week to cover versus.
Oh, he was. Oh, I did not know.
Green Wave.
My bad.
He covered your Tulane Green Wave. By the way, by throwing with like 2 minutes left in the fourth while they were up like 34.
Well, there you go.
He threw a little touchdown pass.
How awesome is that? Every point counts. So yeah, where are my notes here? Hold on. I keep losing this game on the page. Okay, yeah, so Massey Peabody, he has it as Ohio State minus one, so he's on Penn State. Penn State's actually been really good as a dog. Their last five games as a dog, so they're 5-0 ATS with three outright wins. Both offenses are pretty similar. They both average around 55 points a game. I will say that I think Ohio State's played a little bit tougher schedule. This is a wideout game for Penn State too, so that place is going to be fired up. And to me,
they have
the home
a huge
field is
home
probably,
field.
Yeah, it's probably worth more than three in this case, which three is a deep.
I'd say five.
It's worth more like four and a half. The thing I don't like about Penn State though is Mick Swirley. He's only completing 56% of his passes this year. I know he does a lot with his legs, but 56 against weak competition, that has me worried as he's going to step up here. So I don't know, man. I kind of want to just enjoy this game as a fan.
Avoid
I
it. All our competitor, all the guys we're competing against are probably going to have this game as a pick, and we can just kind of avoid it and say,
right.
Well, at least we didn't take too. Blank, whoever wins.
Yes, exactly. Aren't we smart? Also, freshman quarterback, I know he's been great, but freshman quarterback on the road in a really big spot. You just never know how these guys are going to react. He's 18, man. So, and they're getting 64% of the bets. So, you know, I see both sides. I've got another. Well, no, these aren't marquee matchups. Well, yeah, sure. Marquee Big 12 matchup. How about that?
Oh, no. Oh, God, the Big 12.
Your favorite conference, dude.
We can't figure out this conference, man. They cooted us last week.
Okay, I'm going to call this the fool me once, fool me twice game. So fool me once. How does the saying go? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Well, I'm going to give a team an opportunity to fool me twice because I don't believe in them, man. I think Texas Tech is overrated. And like we said, I think that win last week. West Virginia, I think, is the real deal. And Texas Tech, I'm not a believer that their defense is that good. So these teams, it's a given, they have pretty similar offenses. But West Virginia's defense only is allowed 12 points a game, where Texas Tech is allowed 28 points a game. Now, here's the crazy thing about that stat. 28 points a game when they allowed zero to Lamar. So if you take that zero out to Lamar, they're allowing almost 40 points a game. And, man, so here's the big thing. Any home dog that's coming off a straight-up road dog win is an automatic fade as well. This is a big letdown spot for them after a big win, which is especially true for Texas Tech because historically they do let down their fans a lot. They have games where they get up and then they blow a game.
Oh, yeah.
So,
not
Cornelius,
a lot of home field advantage. I'm with you. This was the game I looked at. The only reason I didn't want to play it is just because, oh, man, the Big 12's kind of screwed us this year. But I was definitely on West Virginia. 3.5 means crap when the over-under is like 75, so
exactly
80 points. So 3.5 points, it's not going to be a field goal game. So that doesn't scare me. So you're basically picking a winner. All these pieces on Will Grier and like his focus this year is kind of sucked me in, kind of rolled me in. Like he's focused on this West Virginia team. They smoked your Kansas State Wildcats last week.
yeah, they did. Like, oh my gosh.
I'm kind of with you. Like Squares should be all over Texas Tech as a home dog after their two big wins the past 2 weeks. So Yeah, I like West Virginia. I'm on the same page.
Well, and as far as matchups go, Cornelius, that Oklahoma State quarterback, man, he was a freaking statue. So they were just blitzing the hell out of him, and that's kind of why I think their defense looked a little bit better. You can't do that against Greer because he'll beat you with his legs and his arm.
No, Greer's the real deal.
And they're on a mission, man. They are trying to win the Big 12, trying to make it to the college football playoff, trying to get Greer the Heisman. So I like it a lot.
I'm not going to believe that Cliff Kingsbury is going to win three in a row.
No. Especially after the way they started. I mean, they can't be good, man. I think it's fool's gold.
I'm with you.
I've got one more game. You want me to give you that first? And then we can –
Yeah.
Okay. Last game I like is Southern Cal, 3.5 points on the road playing Arizona. You know, they finally got their offense going last week against, you know, a nice comeback against Wazoo. And I kind of think that they can carry it over this week because Arizona has a soft defense, man. It's not good. I know USC has not been good on the road yet, but it's all been against good defenses. They were on the road against Texas and on the road against Stanford. So it's expected that a freshman quarterback would struggle, but he's getting good experience now. He's doing better. Arizona gave up 500 yards to Houston and over 450 yards to something named Southern Utah. So this defense isn't any good. Their offensive line is in shambles, and that's part of the reason why I think what's-his-face has looked so crappy. And it's a new system, so I don't know. I like him.
That was actually my last play, too. I like Southern Cal as well.
Man, we got some decisions.
This is a get-right game for Southern Cal. This was my angle. Arizona, same thing we talked about, kind of the theme of this pod, of this episode, is at what point do you have a sample size where, like, this team is just bad, and I think Arizona's bad. This is all the reason for, like, Southern Cal to beat them up. And, yeah, I just looked at this as, like, this is a get-right game for Southern Cal after some tough losses to start the year. So,
yeah,
and Arizona's not going to have much anything of a home field. I think Southern Cal's got a pretty good defense too. So,
yeah, and kind of a letdown spot for Arizona because they're probably feeling a little bit better about themselves after beating up on Oregon State, but now they come home and they're going to face a little bit more of a dose of reality. So
we've got a seventh pick. It looks like between Southern Cal, possibly Ole Miss, and then West Virginia.
And yeah. Florida State, we talked
and
about.
And Florida State.
we may backtrack on one of these others.
Yeah, we could do that as well. We'll come back with the second part after a commercial break and have our final picks. I like our first six, though. I'm glad we were, like, on the same page completely this week. I was hoping I could talk you into Kentucky, but, man, squares would be counting.
I'm willing to listen, but
we have Stuck in Collins podcast. Our listeners are probably
Clemson
like
Clemson too, man. Clemson.
Oh, man.
We need to talk about them.
I don't want to do it just for the sake of, like, I don't want it to be 49-21 and with 2 seconds left on the clock, Dungy throws a covering touchdown that means nothing.
Yep. Yeah, even if they're covering by two scores, you know, it's still
I love that ESPN and all the media is just all over the Syracuse line being too high. I mean, I love that angle.
Yeah, that's a good fade right there. You definitely like Southern Miss, though, more than the rest of these other players, right?
Man, I was just about to say, actually, like, the Southern Miss game, I'm calling my shot. Like, I could see this being tied up in the fourth quarter.
I like it. Well, hey, if you're that confident.
This smells of one of those games where, like, Auburn is just tied up with Southern Miss in the fourth quarter.
Awesome, man. Okay, well, let's leave it. All righty. Well, while we talk some more tomorrow, we'll come back with our final card, and we'll take it from there.
Good deal.
All right.
We'll get an NFL play as well.
Yes, sir.
Do it.
All right.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.